Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Psalm 68:6 says, God sets the lonely in families. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today is adoptive mom and advocate for children at risk, Mary Hoyt, joining us from Atlanta, Georgia, where it's a little warmer there than it is here right now. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you, and I look forward to this chat. Mary, you and your husband, Adam, are bio parents of 10-year-old twin girls, and also a little guy, Moses, you adopted from the Democratic Republic of the Congo in 2011. What led you to adopt, and what led you to the DRC?
Adoption has been a dream of mine since the time I was a little girl. I probably had a lot of idealistic fantasies about it, and at the time that I had my biological twin girls, I really felt the Lord speaking to my heart that might be my only pregnancy and that I should leave room in my heart for the children that he was going to bring into our family later. For the last 10 years, my husband and I have worked in a refugee community on the east side of Atlanta and interacted with a large number of international families, and we became close to a number of families from the Great Lakes region of Africa around Uganda, Tanzania, Burundi, those countries around these large lakes. And on the west side is Democratic Republic of the Congo. And at that time, the door was open for adoption, and we connected with an organization called Our Family in Africa. And our process at that time went pretty quickly to be able to bring him home into our family, and we're very thankful.
Wow. Exciting. So now Moses was 1.5 when you brought him home. And what has his adjustment been like?
My personality really is to prepare for the hardest possibilities. So I read all the books and watched all the videos and definitely have gone back to them many times and have had some challenging seasons of parenting a child who's been through a number of different caregivers and breaks in the attachment cycle. But overall, I have to say that I've seen a really miraculous level of attachment in both Moses' hearts and our hearts from day one that I really can only give credit to the Lord for and admire Moses' resilience. We've had a TBR-trained counselor. That's trauma-based relational intervention.
That's, yes. Dr. Karen Purvis.
Next Ministry.
Yes.
Has a list of counselors on their website that have been trained in that methodology. And we have a family counselor here in Atlanta that we are so blessed to have, who's kind of our go-to person when we hit struggles, both with our adopted son and with our biological daughters.
Wow. Wonderful. That support system is so crucial.
Yes.
So now that went so well. You're also doing respite foster care. Can you explain what respite care is and what led you to take that next step?
Sure. Even back when we were researching international adoption, we also researched domestic adoption and started learning about the foster care system here and just volunteering in small ways to support foster parents and foster programs in the Atlanta area. And we started to learn about the possibility of volunteering to be respite foster parents, where children would come to children who were in foster care, you know, as long-term foster parents would need a place to come stay for maybe one night, maybe up to a week, either because the foster parents were sick or needed to go to a funeral, or they might just need an emotional break so that they could be more successful in loving these challenges, or some of the children who have extra challenges long term. And so about a year ago, my family and I started volunteering in that capacity. So it averages maybe 3 to 4 nights a month that we have extra children in our home, and it's just been stretching in a good way, but also super doable and fun and just a great way for us to get involved as a family in foster care ministry to really support those people that are in the trenches day in and day out.
How do your kids respond to the kids who come in for respite?
Really well. We're a pretty extroverted flexible family, so it's a good fit for us. My girls and my son both have extra beds in their room, and then we also have a guest room. So if the child doesn't seem like a good fit to be in their bedroom, there's kind of a space where that child can be on their own. Definitely after the children are gone, my daughter sometimes look at me and say, "You didn't snuggle me as much," you know, when they were here. But it just provides a great opportunity for us to talk about sharing our family and sharing our love with others. And I feel like it's just a way that I can really appropriately stretch my children. And again, we have a family counselor that can help us through that decision making as well.
Wow, wonderful. So in addition to all of that, in addition to being an adoptive mom, a foster care respite parent, you also advocate for children at risk through the Mission Society. Can you share with us about that work?
Sure. This is an opportunity for me to do a part-time job that I dreamed up over the last several years. I was working part-time as a classroom teacher in the spring, and just started to realize that if I needed to work part-time, which I did, then I would really rather be doing advocacy and consulting work for best practices in children at risk. We already had a strong relationship with the Mission Society, so I pitched a proposal to them, and they were very excited. They really saw a need for churches across the United States, and especially in the Atlanta area, to be educated about best practices and the overuse of orphanages. So I took a risk and decided not to sign my teaching contract and started to raise support for this part-time position. And God has really provided the leadership and encouragement and the financial resources that I need to basically be a consultant to churches and ministries and missionaries that are trying to be as effective as they can and serving children and families around the world.
So let's talk a little bit about best practices, because that's really... I've talked to so many people across the country and around the world, and that is really finally the direction that orphan care is moving to. Like you mentioned, the overuse of orphanages at one point in our history, that was kind of like the thing to do. Build an orphanage. That's how we're going to help those orphans. But now we're realizing that, you know, God did not set children into institutions. He sets them into families. So let's tell me about best practice and all of that.
Sure. Most donors, senders, even people in the field don't realize that at least 85% of children in group homes, institutions, children's homes, orphanages, have a living parent that could be empowered to care for their child. Sometimes it's as simple as just reconnecting them. Sometimes it's a matter of school fee sponsorship that many parents relinquish their kids to orphanages because that's the only way for them to get education for their child in the country where, you know, public education is not available. Sometimes it's much more complicated. There's addiction or discipleship issues that need to be addressed, or economic empowerment. But God is calling the church to step into those more messy and more complex solutions and not settle for lifelong institutional or even group home care for children when it's just truly not necessary.
Yeah, I can relate to that because I know that my husband and I adopted 4 children from Ukraine, and, you know, they were in an orphanage. 2 of them had been there since birth. All 4 of them have the same biological mother and father, and they were both alive. And like you said, for various different reasons, alcoholism, poverty, different things like that, they were, parental rights had been removed and the children were in the orphanage. So, you know, the church really can take a closer look at family preservation and how to meet the needs of families so that children don't end up in institutions. And then when children are in institutions, how can we empty out the orphanages? How can these kids go from being orphans to sons and daughters?
Right. There will always be a need for temporary group home care and possibly long-term group home care for a small number of children who really don't, you know, we've gone through all the processes through social work and best practices to reconnect them. We've tried to get them equipped into a therapeutic foster home and local adoptive home, and there's always going to be a small number of children where we're still trying to find that solution. Just like in Georgia, we still have group homes especially for older teenagers who maybe had been through several foster homes and were not successful in maintaining a placement. But I really believe even here locally and overseas that if the church was really obeying the Holy Spirit and rising up to the challenge, that there would be either a biological foster or adoptive family that could love and care for every single child on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's really the vision of World Without Orphans, which is an organization that I was able to attend their global forum in Thailand in February, and around 500 leaders from over 60 nations gathered around a common goal of praying and interceding and asking God to raise up a family for every child in the world.
Yeah. I mean, there are unique situations where kids, you know, the orphanage, you know, especially a Christian orphanage, it meets a need. Sometimes it's a life and death situation. So there are unique, you know, we're not saying you have to close every single one, because like you said, there's unique situations all around the world. But for the most part, if 85% of children living in an institution have a living parent that could be empowered to mm-hmm. be able to keep that child or take that child back, we would have way less children living in institutions, because we know that's not the best place for them. And I just saw, and hopefully our listeners will take a moment if they have the opportunity and access, especially to the internet, to World Without Orphans just released a little video clip.
Yes.
That I love. I just saw it yesterday.
The animation.
Yes. So if you
it's really well done.
Yeah. So if you go to the worldwithoutorphans.org website, or if you're, you know, savvy on Facebook or something, you can find their page and see that on there. I think I even reposted it myself, because it explains exactly what we were just talking about, and it gives you a visual, and it was so well done. So I'm so excited about that. And I want to let our listeners know that you are tuned in to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and global orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is adoptive mom and advocate for children at risk, Mary Hoyt from Atlanta, Georgia. Mary, really, why do you do what you do on behalf of orphans?
I think it comes out of a deep sense of my own belovedness by the Father and a desire for every human being to know their own belovedness. And the most tangible way that we experience that in the first part of life is through family, through the gift of family. And I'm thankful for the family that I've been able to experience and I'm able to provide for my children. And I feel incredibly called by the Lord to advocate for that style of ministry to children in places where, I guess, group homes are assumed to be the best or the only option, and encourage people to rethink that and really question assumptions.
Yeah. So when you are through the Mission Society and through your work, what... You mentioned that there are resources available and training modules for pastors and missionaries and things. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure. The organization Faith to Action has created a number of excellent training resources that I'm using with the pastors and missionaries that I'm meeting with. And then Bethany Global Consulting offers the technical assistance to ministries that are ready to make the switch. For example, if there was a church that had a long-term relationship with an orphanage and realized that some of those kids probably could be reintegrated into families, but they weren't sure how to do it, then organizations such as Bethany Global, and there are others as well that offer the technical assistance to do that, would, you know, be able to come in and really consult about the practicalities of how to make that change. I'm more of a front-end consultant who helps people think through the big picture and the research and some of the materials that Faith to Action has produced. My favorite book to share with people is called In Defense of the Fatherless, Redeeming International Adoption and Orphan Care by Sarah Britton and Amanda Bennett. And the first half of the book goes through some of the problems and pitfalls. The second half of the book offers plenty of tangible, hands-on examples of ministries that have made changes, ways that churches have approached short-term missions, in more effective ways with orphanages, and ways that we can adjust international adoption policies to make sure that they're as ethical as possible.
So the name of that book is In Defense of the Fatherless.
Yes.
And who's the author again?
It's two authors, two friends of mine, actually, Sarah Brinton and Amanda Bennett. It's incredibly well researched and has been endorsed by leaders of Together for Adoption and, you know, all kinds of ministries around the country and around the world.
Wonderful. So are you on the, being on the front end, are you able to connect churches and pastors with, you know, if they come to you, or if you're able to talk with them and they begin to recognize the need and to get involved in this way, what is that next step that you do?
Yeah, I love to do one-on-one in-person or Skype meetings with people who are starting to kind of realize that there's an issue or a different way they could be doing things, and to try to help them think through those next steps. That's different for each ministry and each church. I try to connect them with best practice leaders on the field where their ministry is. For example, I'm working with some people right now who are supporting an orphanage in Haiti, and I'm trying to connect them with some best practice leaders in Haiti who have seen many orphanages go through a shift in their approach that could give them, you know, practical advice for that setting. And then also trying to connect them with organizations such as Bethany Global that give the technical assistance.
And can you share, I guess we could call it a success story, where you've seen this shift actually take place in the field?
A group home that I've been walking alongside in Namibia has, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's a large percent of the youth that were in the group home when they came into the position as orphanage directors. A large percentage of them, they have been able to resettle successfully with their families and offer the social work follow-up to make sure that that reintegration is going well.
And what nation was that again?
It's in Namibia, in a rural part of Namibia.
And where's that?
It's called Children of Zion Village is the name of the group home. And my friends are Travis and Lorna Curry at the directors. And over the couple of years that they've been there, they've really been able to influence a significant change in the model of the ministry, and are seeking God's heart for how to proceed over the years to come.
Wow. Now, will you be at the Orphan Summit in Orlando in May?
I wish. I can't come just because I have young children, and I already traveled so much in January and February to be part of the World Without Orphans Summit, so I need to stay home with my children this May. But I've been there every year, and I'm sure I'll be there in 2017.
Yeah, well, I was going to say we need to connect in Orlando, but tell me about the World Without Orphans Global Forum, because I found out about that myself too late to be able to travel in February to Thailand. I had already a traveling commitment, and but I know they say they may do it again in a few years, and I do plan on being there then. But what was your takeaway? What was that experience like? Being in a place where there are 500 leaders sharing that same heart to have a world without orphans.
Yeah, it was so thrilling and exciting. It was hard to sleep at night because of the jet lag and just the adrenaline of being around so many of my heroes and colleagues that I know from online communication that I was able to spend time with in person. Some of the highlights for me, Wes Stafford is the head of Compassion International. He shared a talk about his childhood growing up. I think it's in Liberia. I might have the country wrong. But he was just talking about how there were no orphans in his village where he grew up, because as soon as someone died, you know, someone else stepped in to care for that child, and how really that's the way our world should be. And it was a beautiful talk. Jed Medefind, president of or director of CAFO, talked about the large sequoia trees that he grew up going to visit, and how small a sequoia seed is, and how deep and intertwined the root structure is, kind of as an example of us as the body of Christ, rooted deep in the Lord's love. And then one of my heroes, Rebecca Knape, works in Australia with the Assemblies of God denomination there. And their whole denomination has made a commitment to minimizing use of orphanages and transitioning all the orphanages that they've been in partnership with around the world into family-based care programs. And you can go onto their website. It's Connected is the name of their ministry, K-I-N-E-C-T-E-D, and they have so many video testimonies of specific families that have been transformed and ministries that went through challenging but very worth it processes of transformation.
So wonderful. So the Assemblies of God Church is on board.
In Australia. I don't know much about where they're at in the United States, but I know Rebecca, now that she feels like her denomination in Australia is committed and on track in that direction, she's seeking to influence other denominations around the world and has started writing some really helpful publications to share her expertise. Also at the Worldwide Orphans Global Forum, it was really exciting to meet leaders of different Worldwide Orphans country movements, such as Zimbabwe Worldwide Orphans, Mozambique Worldwide Orphans. There's over 50 countries now around the world that have their local branches of the Worldwide Orphans movement. And most of them, one of the major focuses is raising up local and indigenous foster care movements, foster and adoptive networks. And many of these are in cultures where informal fostering may have happened through kinship relationships, but the thought of taking in a child that you have no relationship to or no prior knowledge of was pretty foreign. But the Holy Spirit is turning a lot of those cultural norms on their head through inductive Bible study, through one foster family getting to know another foster family. And it's incredible to see on Facebook, seeing these different indigenous country leaders posting the numbers and the stories of foster families coming out of the woodwork, really. And sometimes it's through a revival experience that a whole church commits to fostering a certain number of children. And again, children that are, you know, otherwise may have been stuck in institutional care unnecessarily, and maybe their biological families are not yet prepared to take them back. So in that time, just like we do in the States, there are Christian foster families that are rising up around the world. And one of the countries where that's most pronounced is in the Ukraine. And on the Orphan Sunday, the president of Ukraine and his wife actually came out to pray for orphans and celebrate the foster and adoptive families that have risen up in their country to care for those that don't have families.
Yeah, four of my children were born in Ukraine that we adopted, mm-hmm. and I've recently done an interview with Ruslan Mailuta,
great.
And he is one of the leaders in World Without Orphans, and I know there's a Ukraine Without Orphans and Philippines Without Orphans, and is there a Philippines Without Orphans?
Yes,
there
yes,
is. Okay.
Many Filipino leaders. Some of them have different wording for the title of their organization, but they're still under that umbrella. And all the countries are listed on the World of Orphans website.
Yeah. And so we really are seeing that trend where indigenous families in local churches around the world are beginning to rise up and foster children from their own communities, even if they're not blood relatives. You know, so that is the trend, and that's really, it really reflects the gospel. It really reflects the heart of God, because children are now being placed into families as opposed to being left in institutions or placed in orphanages.
Correct.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so excited to continue to see that move grow. And I do plan on, if they do another World Without Orphans Global Forum, if there are still orphans in the world 3 years from now, I will be at that conference. And hopefully I won't be able to go because there will be no need. But because we do believe, I know in speaking with Ruslan, I had asked him, you know, is it really possible? Do you really think mm-hmm. we could have a World Without Orphans? And he said, yes, because of the church, you know, and God's, you know, we pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just keep thinking, I know there are no orphans in heaven. There are only sons and daughters. So let it be so here.
Right. So. Yeah, the level of faith in the room at the conference was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And they said the number of Christian leaders at denominations and organizations represented several billion Christians around the world.
Wow.
There were leaders of some really large Asian and African denominations there who were completely signing on to the vision in exciting ways.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So as we wrap up, Mary, What is on your heart for our listeners to take away from the show today?
I guess I would just repeat that most Americans are just shocked to find out that 85% of children living in orphanages have at least one parent who could be empowered to care for them. And I just want to encourage us to meditate on that and pray over it. And the verse that you shared at the beginning of God sets the lonely in families. And what is he calling each of us to do to help move children that we know and that we're connected to, and even that we haven't met yet, towards the gift of having a lifelong family?
A family for every orphan.
Yeah.
And I know I read several years ago Kay Warren's book. Sadly, I can't think of the name of it at the moment, but Kay Warren is Rick Warren's wife. And in the book, I remember her saying something along the lines of God, you know, looked at this global orphan crisis, and for the solution, he put all his eggs in one basket. And we, the church, are that basket. We are the solution to the orphan crisis, you know, to the foster care crisis here in the United States. It's us. And he's given us everything we need to do it. Now we just have to do it. So let's do it.
Amen.
Any last thoughts? We have a few minutes. You know, there, I know there's, you must have many, many wonderful stories that you can share.
I guess right now I'm just filled with thankfulness for you and your ministry of awareness and you reaching out to me and inviting me to be a part of this. I look forward to listening to other episodes online as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So Mary, we just thank you so much for being part of the show today. And I'll encourage folks again to go to the World Without Orphans, worldwithoutorphans.org website. Check out that little video that we were talking about to get, you know, a really good picture on, you know, what this really looks like and what it's all about. And they're on Facebook as well. And I thank you again so much, Mary. It was an honor to be able to talk with you today.
Okay, thanks.
And to learn more about adoption, foster care, and global orphan care, you can even schedule me, Sandra Flack, to speak at your church or event about these things. You can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.